Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll read verse 1 through 9. It says, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ." He says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Okay, that's a lot of scripture. Well, buckle up, we're going to read some more. But Heavenly Father, help us today. Help us to understand the Word of God, and help us to see the one it talks about, which is Jesus Christ. And thank God, thank the Lord for sending Christ to die for us, so that when we die, we get to go to heaven. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is part 50 in our study on John the Baptist. And we've covered a lot of ground. We've looked at a lot of different things. There's a little bit narrative left, and I want to get to that. But first, I want to look at baptism itself. It's important, when you're trying to understand a subject, that you look at the context. And Paul here, he's got something to say, and in saying it, he mentions baptism. But it's this context that I want to take a look at today. He tells, Paul does, of the wonderful things that God has done for us. He speaks of the new life, the new birth, and the benefits thereunto. And this epistle, and a number of others that he wrote and that others wrote, they're pastoral in nature. It's not an evangelistic thing. He's speaking to Christians and telling us how we ought to live. And this book in particular is corrective. But he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren," in verse 10, "by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." This is the Apostle Paul called to be an apostle, etc., etc. Paul called on the road to Damascus. He saw a vision of the Lord. He surrendered his heart and life to preaching the gospel and to suffering. But Paul has a word from heaven. And he says, I beg of you, I beseech you, remembering the Lord. Or, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what a faithful man of God will do. He will speak on behalf of God, not saying what he wants to say, or would like to say, or which sounds good. But he says, what thus saith the Lord. But he says, we ought to all speak the same thing. We ought to all sound like we're together. When people look at us, they ought to say, well, in the things that they say, their doctrine, their devotion to God, etc., that there shouldn't be any division except that cannot be said of the church today. It cannot be said what Paul is beseeching us to do. It cannot be said that we all speak the same thing. It can't be said that there's no division among us. But it can be said that we are wrong. We are wrong. We have all kinds of denominations, all kinds of doctrinal camps. We've all got our favorite preacher, but we're missing out. We're missing out because the Bible, and hey, just this chapter, talks about so much more that God has for His children. But we miss out. And he goes on in verse 11 through 13. He says, hey, I've heard, in fact, Chloe's the one that told me, that there are contentions among you, that everybody says, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas or Peter. I mean, I got saved under Paul's ministry, and that other guy, he got saved by listening to Peter. And instead of saying, hey, these apostles are just servants, they all preach the same thing, we all believe the same thing, and our focus is Christ Himself, they divide. They did divide, and today we divide. Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, I go to the Catholic Church. Well, y'all are all wrong. I go to the Methodist Church. Well, none of that's right. None of it is right. It's not the way God intended. It's not right. And we are guilty of being divided. We're guilty. Jesus said, he was boasting, he said that everybody's going to know that all you Christians are my disciples because you love one another. But this division
it says that we really don't love one another. And again, it's not right. Okay, so that's the lead up. That's the context. Everybody's got their own favorite denomination or whatever. But he says in verse 13, is Christ divided? Hey, was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Well, as it turns out, Paul said, I only baptized, man, like 1, 2, 3, 4, about a half a dozen people I baptized, he said, maybe. But I didn't go around baptizing because Jesus sent me to preach. He didn't send me to baptize. But again, he's talking about who are you baptized in the name of? Or who is Lord of your life? Who matters? If your denomination matters more than what the book says, then something's out of joint. I want to take a look at Romans chapter 6, just a few verses. But I want to make the point that baptism, we're supposed to be baptized. We're supposed to obey the book. He's Lord, Jesus is. He says, be baptized. And as we do so, it's an act of obedience. But let's read a little bit. Romans chapter 6, and again, remember our context. Not, hey, look, I got baptized, but hey, I've surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. Not, hey, I was baptized, but hey, y'all know me, y'all know all the stuff I did, but I got saved. I surrendered my heart and my life and my actions and my desires. I've surrendered that to the Lord. Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And Paul says, God forbid. Of course not. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He'll talk about mortifying the deeds of the flesh, crucifying the deeds and desires and what have you, and not living for ourselves, but living for God. I've often said, if you want to understand what sanctification is, that before you get saved, if you were like me, you were in the bar every Friday and Saturday night, and hey, what kind of mischief can I get into? But now, that's the furthest thing from my mind. And instead of the bar on Saturday night, you'll find me in church on Sunday morning. I'm changed. I'm a new creature, like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I can't live that way anymore. And I've mortified the deeds of the flesh. You know what a mortician is. They get you ready to be buried. They get you ready to sit or to lay in that casket and have people look at you, you're dead. It speaks of death. How shall we just read, that are dead to sin, dead to our old lifestyle, how can we live any longer therein? He says in verse 3 again, Romans chapter 6, don't you know that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, or baptized in his name and not in the name of Paul or Peter or Apollos or the Baptist or the Pentecostals, but baptized into Christ, surrendered to Jesus Christ. If any man want to follow me, he said, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Take up your cross, the instrument of Christ's death. You need to willingly, just as he willingly laid down his life, we need to lay down our lives and say, yes, Lord, I'll follow. And no, Lord, I won't go over there again on Saturday night. I just won't have anything further to do with that lifestyle. We're baptized into Christ. We're testifying as we obey to be baptized. We're testifying of the great thing that God did for us when he gave the life of his Son. And we're testifying of the great things that God is going to do in us as we die to sin, as we surrender our lives. It's a testimony. It's a symbol. He says, according to this symbol, we're buried with him by baptism into death. You go under the water, just as if the mortician, he's done his job, and they bring you out to the field or whatever, the cemetery, and they put you under the earth. When you're baptized, you momentarily go under. You're in a watery grave for 2 or 3 seconds, and then you come out. Okay, fine. You were baptized, but what are you going to do for the rest of your life? You need to live. And it says in verse 4 of Romans 6, we ought to walk in newness of life. But baptism is symbolic. And we've talked about that. We've talked about repentance. We've talked about dedication or consecration. We talked about Gilgal. We've talked about a number of different things. We've been studying this over a year. We've covered all sorts of things. But it talks about surrendering our hearts and making Jesus Lord of our life. It says in verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, then we're also going to be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. We're saying, my old life, I've nailed it to the cross with Christ, and I'm not going to live for me anymore. And it says that the body of sin might be destroyed. My desires to go out and have that good time on Saturday night, that old life, I want it to be destroyed. I want it to be destroyed. I want a new life. I want to go to heaven when I die. And I want to start now living for God. It says that henceforth we should not serve sin. And then it talks of that new life. For he that is dead is freed from sin. If we die in our hearts through our old life, then we're free from sin. The old habits we had, the old addictions we had, we're free. I can testify. I mean, I was a lightweight. All I ever did was smoke dope, but it had a hold on me. And the moment I got saved, I knew within 2 or 3 minutes that I was free, that it no longer had a hold on me. I knew that I didn't need that no more. I knew that I didn't need the bar no more. And I got saved, 38 years ago, and I have been in a bar once or twice. We went out to eat. We went to Oscar's, actually, on Metairie Road, and they had good hamburgers back when they drugged me there. And I liked it. The hamburger was good, but as soon as we finished the meal, I wanted to get out of there because that ain't my lifestyle no more. I knew that apart from an occasional visit to go get a hamburger, I didn't need the bar anymore. And baptism, that says, hey, it testifies, hey, this person, this guy, he was a sinner. He's free of all that. He's died to all of that. If you're dead to sin, how can you live any longer therein? And I want to ask that question. If you are a Christian, maybe you were baptized, maybe you weren't. Hey, probably you ought to get baptized if you weren't or haven't been. But let's follow through with that symbol. Let's live a changed life. Let's put aside every weight and every sin that easily besets us, let's put it aside. Let's mortify it. Let's bury those desires. And let's live for God. And let's be expecting, looking and expecting for when Jesus comes back. Or if we die before he does, hey, I'm going to heaven. They may put me in the ground, but hey, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This